much. So I'm late first.
Holy.
Thank you. And we are going to see a little bit more of Emmanuel this morning, God with us. Let us go back to the 7th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 7. And once again, this very familiar verse. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I want to conclude this message that we began last week on the signs of Jesus' coming. As we noted, we hear so much of that in our day, looking for the second coming of Jesus, but the signs also were abundant surrounding the first advent of Jesus. And so as we read here, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself. Therefore, of course, pointing back to these other verses and the fact that God gave a sign for the time then present. But the real fulfillment is what we find in the New Testament. And today I want to go to the first chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 1. And we will begin with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, said Isaiah, and this is the fulfillment of that glorious prophecy that was given all those many years ago. I want to notice today that Mary was the first one to receive a sign that Jesus should be born into the world at that very time. And that is exactly right. It is proper that Mary should be the first one. I want to emphasize the fact that God never forces anyone to comply with his purposes without their knowledge and consent. Mary is to be the one who will bear this chosen treasure into the world, and it is therefore absolutely proper that God should tell her about it first. And indeed he did. We have seen over the years that this wonderful incident, this wonderful story that we have here of the Holy Ghost implanting the very holy seed of Jesus into the womb of Mary, it is so typical of what happens to every person who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I say that God does not force anyone to receive his Son. He doesn't force anyone to let the Holy Ghost plant this glorious treasure in their hearts. Men have to do that with full consent. They have to give him permission. And this is exactly what we find with Mary at this particular time. You will notice in verse 28 that the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And so it was the angel. This was the sign of the angel. If you go down through the scripture, you will find that God used angels as signs many times in the Word of God when he was especially going to do something very special. And that nothing can get more special than what we have here. And so the angel announced himself unto Mary. And we will notice in verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. You have found grace with God. You are a recipient of the wonderful grace that he would indeed bestow upon all humanity. And in verse 31, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. I want to emphasize here that Mary received this message before she conceived. We find the same message that the angel gave to Joseph over in the book of Matthew, as we saw last week, but it was after she was already with child. As we wondered at that time, did Mary talk to Joseph about this? Did she tell him what the message from the angel was? We're not told. We don't know. I thought on this and wondered if that were the case, then Joseph would have recognized. This would have confirmed to him what Mary, his wife, had already told him. We simply don't know if those conversations took place, but what we do know is that the message to both of them were exactly the same, and Jesus is his name before he was even conceived. He was announced to be the Savior of the world, God with us, indeed, Emmanuel. The angel goes on to express and to tell who he was, what he had come to do, all of these wonderful things. But you will notice in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel was sent to a virgin. Now Mary confesses and she acknowledges she is a virgin. She knows no man. And she just simply doesn't understand how that this is going to happen, since she knows no man. But the Holy Ghost is certainly not offended because anyone would wonder such a thing. God does not treat us as robots. And so he explained to her exactly what would happen in verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is again God's miracle sign. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The word simply means the Holy Ghost will have influence upon you. I point back to exactly the same parallel of everyone who receives Jesus Christ as Savior. The Holy Ghost has to influence them. The Holy Ghost has to convict them of their sin. And then they have the choice of whether to accept him or not. The other word that is extremely intriguing here is that the power of the holy, the mighty power of God shall overshadow you. That word literally means to cast a shade upon. It means to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. We are not told about that experience. And I'm sure the reason we are not told about that experience is because that was something so intimate and personal between the Lord and Mary. I wondered if it might compare to the same thing that we read of Moses there in the top of Mount Sinai, where the glory of the Lord was so strong, where the glory of the Lord enveloped Moses, that brilliancy, to such a degree that his face actually shone when he came down from the mount. We simply do not know. The scripture is silent concerning that. What we do know is that the next time we see Mary on down here, she is with child. But before we do that, I want to notice that Mary gave her consent. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She gave her consent. With full knowledge of what he was doing, she gave her consent to carry the Son of God in her womb in order to bring him into this world. And so we come to the next one who also received a sign. She went into the country in verse 30 or in verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And going with haste, I am sure she was certainly excited about what had happened unto her. She entered the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And this is what I want to notice about Elizabeth. Because having been through this experience, she has been barren all of her life. And now then, in her old age, God has chosen to overrule that barrenness. And now then, she is going to be the mother of John the Baptist, another great man who will have such an impact concerning Jesus and God's purposes of redemption. And so Elizabeth, also pregnant at this time, and you will notice in verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, Behold, or blessed rather, art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I want to notice, first of all, the only words that Mary said were apparently hello or greetings in Jesus or some kind of greeting that they had. It was just a salutation. The sign to Elizabeth is that she knew all of these things without Mary conveying anything to her. She knew. And indeed, as she said, the babe, John the Baptist, knew that Jesus had already made his entrance into the world. You will also know, notice in verse 45, that blessed is she that believes. She already knew of the faith of Mary, the fact that she had consented to this message of Jesus. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her. Mary had not told her anything, but she knew that these things had been told unto Mary. This was the sign indeed that God showed unto Elizabeth that the Savior had arrived in this world. Verse 46, I want to notice Mary. This woman that is given so much exalted credit, oftentimes even above Jesus, and that is not right. Mary did not do that. Mary does not exalt herself. Mary calls all the attention unto the Anointed One, unto Jesus Himself. And so you will notice here in verse 46, Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. She did not exalt herself and take a place that had not been given to her. She was simply a vessel that God used in order to, a vehicle God had used in order to bring the Savior into the world. Verse 47, My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. It was Mary who recognized and acknowledged and spoke forth in such a loud voice that she needed a Savior right along with the rest of the world, and she was carrying him inside her womb. This is Mary who is testifying of these things. She knew this sign full well, up close and personal, so to speak. Verse 48, He has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. The low estate of his handmaiden. Verse 50, his mercy is on them that fear him. Verse 51, he showed strength with his arms. He scattered the proud of the imagination of their hearts. She's acknowledging the wonder and the glory of divine grace that has indeed been shown unto her. She does understand, just as every believer understands, that all who receive him, it is by grace through faith. It is through no merit of our own, and Mary understood that in every sense of the word. Then we go to chapter 2, where we find more signs. This time, the sign is indeed confirmed in no uncertain terms. Isaiah says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Here in chapter 2, we find the second part of that brought forth. Notice verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now this sign is fully manifest unto all the world. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The next group I want to notice that understood and saw the signs is the lowly shepherds. In verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9 is the first sign that they witnessed. As I said, there are many times through the scripture that God has used the angels as signs of what he is doing. And so we find it here. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. God gave this first announcement to the public. I thought it was rather interesting that the shepherds were the very first of those beyond Mary and Joseph that actually knew Jesus had appeared, he had come into the world. Thought it was rather fitting that the shepherds would be the first to see and then to proclaim that the shepherd of the sheep had come into the world. He announced it to the lowly ones, not to the elite, not to those in palaces and all of these things. Though he came as a king, he announced it. He gave the first announcement to these lowly shepherds. He showed them the angel. They saw the glory of the Lord, which shone round about them. Then we read again in verse 10, the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not. That's the message he had for, I believe, also Joseph and Mary and others. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day. It has already happened. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. And once again, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the purpose for which he came. This is the meanings of his names, Emmanuel, of Jesus, all of them signifying the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. God gave to them a special sign You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I'm sure the shepherds had no problem finding him. We have stated many times before that God always reaches man on his own level. These shepherds were very acquainted with the stables. They knew exactly where the manger would be. They didn't have to hunt around. He didn't have to give them any further direction. I'm sure they went right to him without any other leadership or anything of that nature. They went to the stable and they found the sign exactly as the angel told them that it would be, that the babe would be lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Then in verse 13, we read another of the signs. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And then is when they departed. They evidently left their sheep, whether they left him with a keeper, as some have stated over the years, we don't know. God would have taken care of them anyway. But these shepherds went into Bethlehem, and they found it exactly as the angel had said unto them. They found that the sign of his arrival was absolutely there. And in verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherd boys were the first heralds of Jesus' birth into this world. The lowly shepherds, once again announcing the arrival of the shepherd into the world. Verse 21. I want to notice these last signs concerning Jesus and the fact that he has arrived into the world. And there are others who received these signs. But I want to notice these last two examples because I believe they especially speak to us as we wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. You will notice in verse 21 that when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child Jesus, and his name was called Jesus. And you will notice again, we are reminded, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This was not an afterthought. It was done before, as we find here. Then we read in verse 22, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is a fulfillment of Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus would abide by the law. His parents would abide by the law. After 8 days, he was circumcised. After 33 more days, he was presented in the temple to be dedicated unto the Lord. And I fear that many look over the fact why they waited 33 more days after his circumcision in order to present him for dedication. The reason was because Mary, according to the law, was unclean. It didn't make any difference that she had borne the Son of God into this world. Mary is still unclean according to the law. And so she must wait 33 more days in order for him to be presented in the temple. And this is where we come to the next one, that Well, I also want to notice verse 24. They offered a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. If you go back to the law, they could offer anything they wanted to. They could offer the bullock, the very large offering that would have been offered by those who were of the elite and rich. We find here that Jesus was not born to the rich and the elite. He was born to the poorest of the poor. And indeed, he demonstrated that he is the Savior of the poorest of the poor, right up to the very most elite of this world. He came to save all men. And he ministered accordingly, as we have seen so many times in the scripture. Verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Simeon is another who recognized the signs that was before him. But I want to notice the signs that he was going by, because they are exactly the same signs as you and I must observe in our day today. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was just. He was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This means that Simeon knew he was coming. There was no special sign given to him, as we find with Joseph and Mary and some of these others. But Simeon knew in his own self. He knew in his own mind, in his own heart, indeed, according to the word of God, that Jesus was coming into this world. Notice further. The Holy Ghost was upon him in verse 25. Verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit, which means this man was constantly in his daily life, in his daily walk, constantly led by the power of the Holy Ghost in order to go where God wanted him to be. And so we find out he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for them after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy words. He recognized the sign that was before him because of the word of God, because that the Lord revealed unto him. He came in exactly at the time that he was supposed to be here. And then if you read those verses, you will find that he prophesied of exactly what this child was going to do. I want to skip down to verse 34. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall. That's a prophecy of Calvary. And notice again, the rising of many in Israel. That would have been the redemption of those who indeed believe upon him. But then he said something else. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. Jesus himself and Calvary are that sign. That Christ and his redemption has been a point of contention from that time right down to our own present day, and it will continue even beyond. A sign as to whether men are going to accept the truth of Calvary and Christ's redemption and the fact that he is a Savior, or indeed whether they are not. Verse 35 has to be a prophecy concerning Mary standing there at the cross. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It was the crucifixion and the fact that Jesus was a fulfillment of the word of God, that men are all open to the view of God even today. And then finally in verse 36 is our last example of those who saw signs in Jesus' day, that first advent. There was one Anna, a prophetess. Once again, I want to notice that Anna is representative of us today. Because the prophetess means that she had her eye constantly on the Word of God. I can say it without apology or equivocation that men who are looking for Jesus today are going to be those who have their eyes and their hearts set upon God's Word. They are dedicated to the Word just exactly as Simeon was as Anna was. Notice further, she's the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years. But notice who she was. She departed not from the temple. She served God with fastings and prayers day and night. Verse 38, she coming in that instant. No accident that she was there. The power of the Holy Ghost had both her and Simeon there exactly as he wanted them. This was indeed his sign unto them that indeed the Savior had come into the world. She coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And she spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption. It means she was looking for redemption. She was looking for this same one as was Simeon. And indeed, they saw him. It is a marvel, the things that God has done for us. I want to close with Hebrews 9:28. This is the key. It was the key for Simeon, all of the ways that we saw that he was looking for the Lord. It was the key for Anna, she indeed into the Word of God and looking. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And notice this. Unto them that look for him. This is where every man must decide for himself and evaluate his own life. Am I truly looking for Jesus? Simeon was looking for him. Anna was looking for him. And we likewise must be those who are looking for him. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. He was made sin at his first advent. The second time he's coming without sin unto salvation or deliverance out of this world for all those who look for him. And so we look for the signs that surround his second advent. One day those that look for him will see him absolutely as he is.